Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo, and we're here for the reproductive hormone evaluation module. The information here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, nor when you do this, if you're going to go in, somebody's working with a doctor, you know, obviously they're going to have to get any prescriptions or bioidenticals done through their doctor. If they're on bioidenticals and they're looking to you to help them get off, you have to make sure that they know that they need to work with their doctor, and you can't tell them, okay, now you can decrease this prescription. It's not legal. Okay, so you go to meridianvalleylab.com. Over on the right-hand side, there's a search box. Type in the word interpretation. When you get there, you'll get to a page that has several articles on it. I would highly recommend you bookmark this page. And there's several articles to read about the 216 estrogen ratio. They're all getting into detail. These are the ones I was collecting to put into a thing for you. But this is a way that you can learn more about these things. They also have some videos on this site under education, webinars. I think you have to call them and get signed up and get an ID to get in there. Estrone at the top. So the first thing we have are E1, Z2, E3. So our estrone, you'll see where they give you the ranges. Well, whatever day of the month it is. So luteal would be day 17 to 26. Follicular would be day 27 to 11. So it's the very end of the cycle into the 11th day. Mid-cycle is the 12 to 16. And that's where things are going to be higher, remember? And these are the ranges that are normal. This is somebody who has a 49.9. It doesn't say on this report whether what day of the month it was, but in any case, it's high. It's higher than any of these ranges, right? Even at peak luteal, it should be between 3 and 44. And the ranges I've been told by the docs there, you can't always go by, that sometimes it'll say the number is normal, but it's not. So we have to be careful with that. So we have a high estrone, We've got a relatively normal or high normal estradiol. I'm going to assume this person's in luteal. Estriol, it's not bad. I mean, it's 12.9. I've seen them really, really low. But then the total estrogens are 74.2. The next thing they do is give you the estrogen quotient. And this is the most critical information you're going to get at the top of this page. So what they do is they take the estriol and they divide it by the estrone plus the estradiol. You can guess that this is going to be low because the estradiol is low normal, and the estrone is so high. And sure enough, it is. The estrogen quotient comes out to be 0.2. This person is at high risk of breast cancer, of high risk of metabolic disorders related to estrogen dysregulation. Okay, 0.2. The best thing that brings this up is iodine supplementation. This person is most likely deficient in iodine. And a lot of people ask me, well, should I supplement with iodine? I've heard that it can trigger Hashimoto's. And yeah, excess iodine can trigger Hashimoto's. How do you know? Well, you can do an iodine loading test, or you can look to see if it's functionally out of balance, and putting you at risk by doing this 24-hour urine test and seeing the estrogen quotient. And at a 0.2, we would want to be supplementing this person with iodine, and quite a bit of it. If you look at iodorol, iodorol has 0.5 milligram of iodine. And the amount that is considered the RDA is like 1 or less. So it's a lot. But some people need to take up to 50 a day. This is how iodine works to protect you from breast cancer. This is why women with breast cancer have low iodine levels. So this is a really important ratio. And if you do this test and you see somebody with a 0.2 here or under 1, you want it to be 1 or more. If it's under 1, you better be doing something with their iodine. At a 0.2, I would probably put them on 2 iodorols a day for a while. You could do Lugol's, but that requires a prescription. There's other ways to do it. You could do like restorative formulas, has a really good formula with good amounts of iodine in it. They've got a good one. But you need to be supplementing iodine. liquid iodine. I've seen it. I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me. But the Trace Minerals Research has a liquid iodine, but I haven't looked recently to see how much. My guess is that it's more in the microgram size. But whatever it takes, I would be doing somewhere between 12 and 50. And you start low. And I would be redoing this test in 3 to 4 months. This is critical. You've got to get this to be proper. Okay? So let's talk about the rest. So the estrogen quotient, critical. So highlight that on your paper. That's the critical thing you're looking at this page. I look at that first when I look at this. So now we look at the 2-hydroxy and the 16. Now, 2-hydroxy and 16-hydroxy are not necessarily good or bad in and of themselves, but it's the ratio between them that needs to be within a certain range. In this particular case, the 216 level is high. It's high. It's above the reference level. Now, if this person was in the follicular phase, it's super duper duper high, right? Or if they're postmenopausal, it's super high. So this person is high on the 216 ratio. So the 216 ratio, you can read more about. When you have a higher 216 ratio, you are at less risk for breast cancer, but higher risk for osteoporosis. So we want this to be right in the middle, right? We don't want to have a low risk of breast cancer at the expense of a high risk of osteoporosis. We don't want to have a low risk of osteoporosis at the expense of a high risk of breast cancer. We want it to be just right. We want the Goldilocks principle to be in play here, the just right, okay? So if you see this high, then you're looking at somebody with a high risk of osteoporosis. If you see this low, you're looking at somebody with a high risk of breast cancer. Okay? This is where your DIM comes into play. This is where your DIM comes into play. Okay, increase that, or your cruciferous vegetables. Okay, the 4-hydroxy that one's carcinogenic. That one is normal here, so you're good to go. But here's what you want. You want to see the methoxies. That's methylated estrogen. Methylated estrogen is much more protective, and there's a lot more that your body is actually doing with it than the hydroxies. There is one test that showed, I think it might have actually been on the Genova Diagnostics, shows the ratio between the methoxy and the hydroxy. But you can look at it and see here, the 2-methoxy is relatively low. I can't remember what the ratio is supposed to be for that. But you've got more of the 2-hydroxy. So we'd probably want to bring down that 2. Anyway, this person has a relatively normal levels of the methoxies, which is good. But if you see these low, and you see the ratio low, what you're going to know is this person may have a methylation defect. It's another indirect way to know without doing the genetic. And the methoxy here is normal. So we're not suspecting this person has a methylation defect. But if we saw these low, we would be suspecting that they have one of those methylation defects and need to be supplemented with methyl groups. Things like methylfolate, methyl B12, SAMe, pregnenolone. It turns out we can't measure progesterone directly in the urine. So we measure a metabolite of it called pregnenolone. So in this particular case, her number is 2464. She's within the lower part of the range. So we're thinking because she has such high estrogens and lower progesterone, this person is got not enough progesterone here. Okay. Their DHEA is high, which might be why the estrogen's high. If the DHEA is high, it's getting converted. But why is the DHEA high? Well, I would be asking about supplementation here. So either the DHEA is high because they're supplementing with it, or their DHEA is high could indicate PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, although you generally would not see high estrogens with that. You would see low progesterone with that. And it could be a break in the pathway. You remember that crazy old pathway? Remember the crazy pathway? So DHEA is high maybe because it's not being converted downstream. Although it's got to be being converted downstream because you've got the estrogen. So not really sure in this case why the DHEA is high. Okay. Testosterone is low normal. Testosterone's low normal. So the DHA is not being, I know, the DHA is not being converted to testosterone, and the testosterone's being converted to estrogen. This is where you're starting to think, like, this is where knowing those pathways is like, okay, why is the DHA high? I would be suspecting an exogenous source of DHA with it that high. That maybe this person read about it in a magazine, or their doctor prescribed it for them. She went out and got, you know, the 25 or 50 milligram version of the DHA instead of the 1 milligram, you know, three milligrams a couple times a day or twice a day. Yeah, so my guess is that there's an exogenous source. And again, you're going to be knowing your patient. And if this was high without an exogenous source, this is the stuff that I would be talking to Meridian Valley about. So, because they're really good at, they've seen this a zillion times. Now we're looking down here, we're looking for highs. We're also looking for other stuff in terms of the ratios of things. So when the androstenediol, that comes from, that's a downstream metabolite of testosterone. When that is high, it's saying, let's see over here, androstenediol, it's actually a precursor, but also can go to testosterone. So it's a precursor. So that's high also. It means that there's some block in the conversion from the androstenediol down to testosterone. And that's probably why the DHEA and the androstenediol is high, is that there's a block, and we'd have to be looking at what are some of the enzymatic things that interfere there. And off the top of my head, I don't know what those are. But that's the stuff. So each of these tests is going to trigger you to start to do research, right? Each of these tests will start to say, oh, I'm going to go ahead and look that one up. So the androstenediol is not being converted to testosterone. The DHEA is being converted to androstenediol, and between the two of them, they're high because we're not being converted efficiently to testosterone. Pregnenitrile, that is high. Pregnenitrile is also a progesterone metabolite, and it's further down. And your 17-hydroxy progesterone can get converted down to it. Your pregnenolone can be diverted down to it, and it's often related to stress. It's often related to the cortisol stuff. It's often related to a deficiency in B6. So you can't get your conversion of your pregnenolone down to DHEA. So it can be related to a number of different things. So androstenediol, androstenediol, these are all metabolites of 5-alpha and 5-beta. There's two different ones. Those are downstream metabolites. One is testosterone is related to the androstenediol, and then the DHEA is related to the androstene and eicosanoline. So eicosanoline, androstene, and then the pregnenitrile. So cortisone is 130, so it's kind of in the mid-range. Cortisol is 89, kind of on the mid-range. So it doesn't look like there's a lot of issues here. But the big thing that you want to find out for cortisol and adrenal function and adrenal reserve is the sum of this THE, THF, and THF. 5-alpha THF and THF, the allotetrahydrocortisol and the tetrahydrocortisol and the tetrahydrocortisone. You want to add those up. And the total should be 7 to 10,000 is best. So this one, if we add up, they are 3,500 and 15 is 50, 66. So we're short. We're short. So there's an issue here with adrenal reserve. Just write that down. You want to sum those up, and if they're low, there's an issue with adrenal reserve. Okay, there's more stress, less reserve. The next ones are hydroxy versions of these guys up here, the androsterone and the eicosanoline. Okay, I will tell you, this is the page that gets me the most. Whenever I run these tests, this is the page that I'm on the phone with the lab saying, okay, this, I haven't seen this ratio before. What does this mean? Okay. The things at the bottom are more of the same related to the adrenal part of it. And This is related to reserves, adrenal reserves, because they're the corticosterone. So in this particular case, their reserves aren't too terrible, but their stress is really high. Their cortisone, they're spilling it out. So this person is heading towards, they're not in the stage of complete burnout. They're not in the stage where their reserves are completely depleted, but they're heading there if they keep this up. We'll go through a few more of these. So the other hormones that you can do on here, growth hormone. In this particular case, the growth hormone is low. What does this mean? This person needs shots of growth hormone? No. We know things that can elevate growth hormone. We know that if you get to bed no sooner than 3 hours after you eat, that you get to bed before midnight, that you do burst training throughout the day, that you avoid high insulin levels, which thwart growth hormone. There's a lot of things you can do. There's also some supplements that you can take, but that helps to stimulate it. But the best thing to do is those diet and lifestyle things. With your thyroid, it's actually measuring the free T3 and T4. And this particular one doesn't measure it. I'll show you some examples where they do. And then the minerals, this is related to aldosterone production. So they measure sodium, potassium, and the sodium, potassium ratio. So this person is getting adrenal depleted because their sodium, potassium ratio is low. They're not producing as much aldosterone as they should. The last two pages of this show you ratios. So the androstenedione and eicosanoline ratio, the conversion of testosterone down to DHT is affected by 5-alpha reductase, an enzyme. If that enzyme is too high, the activity is too high, you're getting too much conversion from testosterone to DHT, and that can lead to problems. You'll see what it says here. Alpha reductase activity is associated with PCOS in women, and hirsutism meaning male qualities, and in BHP, benign prostatic hypertrophy, and premature baldness in men. So this, when you get too much DHT, dihydroxytestosterone, this ratio is going to be high because of 5-alpha reductase being high. It's dangerous. You need a certain level of DHT, and it also can promote insulin resistance. If it's too low, you're going to get males who are having problems with maleness, right? And same thing in women. It's going to be related to, it's mostly in men though, the underconversion of testosterone to DHT. So they don't have their maleness. In this particular case, we're looking for it to be right in the midline, right around the 0.7. This person is a little bit higher. Not too bad. Not too terrible. If you see somebody with a high level or very high level, there's things that you can do about it. That you want to be doing nutrients that are 5-alpha reductase inhibitors. You want to be careful about doing too high levels of these nutrients in people who are low, because you can decrease their maleness, their production of DHT, especially in men. So I don't necessarily give men a lot of these. So the things that can help would be zinc. I put people on as much as 90 milligrams a day of zinc, but anywhere from 30 to 90 milligrams of zinc a day will help bring down 5-alpha reductase. In addition, GLA. And my favorite form in this case is borage oil because it's most potent, like 400 milligrams two or three times a day. GLA is gamma linolenic acid. And then we've got saw palmetto. And we know you've probably seen saw palmetto being used a lot for prostate problems, right? And we just heard this is why. The testosterone converting to DHT, too much, you get prostatic hypertrophy. So we see this a lot being given for men with BHP, with benign prostatic hypertrophy, saw palmetto. And the reason is that it reduces the production from testosterone down to DHT. So now you know why. So saw palmetto, GLA, and zinc are three very important nutrients for a person who has very high levels. This person has just slightly high levels, so we would adjust the doses. If this was really high, we might be putting them on like 90 milligrams, 30 milligrams of zinc three times a day, 400 milligrams of GLA three times a day, and you know, two or three saw palmetto capsules two or three times a day to get it down. This other ratio is the allotetrahydrate. That's the other thing that's related to 5-alpha reductase. The two of these are related to 5-alpha reductase. So in the other case, this the second ratio, which is the allotetrahydrocortisol to tetrahydrocortisol, it's high. So in this particular case, we'd want to be putting this person on good doses of those nutrients to try to bring this down, because the side effects are not, they're not pretty. Copper could be useful there too. Copper could be useful there too if they're really high. I'm looking at one of my own cases where it was off the charts high. The first ratio was 2.22, which is off the chart high, and the other one is 1.45. Yeah, so this is a male who went bald at age 28. So it definitely is related. Definitely is related. So we're working on getting that down. And we have to run another test to see if it's come down. Well, I have the first test I ran on him, and then the second test I ran on him, it hadn't come back down much at all. That was before he went on the zinc and the GLA. And I don't think he actually followed through on the saw palmetto. So we're going to have to test him again. And they say, look, it's not coming down. You need to do it. Or, okay, it came down on the zinc and the GLA. So I think he was just doing the zinc, going, well, I don't have to do all of those. So you're going to get people like that. So you work with them. The next piece is the cortisol-cortisone ratio. So this is adrenal reserves. If you have low ratios, it means that they have high levels of cortisol, low storage. And if they have low levels, that means that they're not producing a lot of cortisol, but they have some storage. So in this particular case, it's almost in the middle. It's almost in the middle, right? And why are low ratios associated with obesity and insulin resistance? Elevated ratios associated with, well, if they have high-dose licorice and cortisol administration, but licorice actually prolongs the cortisol. So you can actually see this. If somebody has a low ratio, you can bring this ratio up by giving them licorice. But again, you have to be careful in that case because it can affect the blood pressure. Right? So you can actually bring it up. So high levels in this case are associated with high blood pressure. When the cortisol is too high relationship to the cortisone, you are definitely going to have high blood pressure. And you can induce high blood pressure with too much licorice going on at that point. This is a chart that shows you what the thing looks like. So basically what they do is they measure the progesterone and estrogen 11 times. They tell them what days to do. It starts out sparse at the beginning because there's not a lot of activity. And then it gets very dense, you know, measuring almost every day right in the mid-cycle. And then it sparses out again. And I think the last collection is on day 26. Mm-hmm. You adjust it for the person depending on their length of their cycle. So if a person typically has a 42-day cycle, what we'll usually do is contact the lab and say, okay, this is 42-day cycle. What days should we be doing this stuff on? Right. And then if they have a very short cycle, like a 20-day cycle, 22-day cycle, then we want to do it short and we're going to compress it. And so you have to make sure that you communicate that with the lab because they're going on a 28-day cycle. The last time we do it is day 26. If you do the extended, you also get the LH and the FSH, and you can also get the testosterone and DHEA, but those are what they call pooled values. If you're going to get a test done for somebody, don't retest at a different lab. Always test at the same lab. If you test them on day two of their cycle, always test them on day two of their cycle because you're going to be comparing apples to oranges. If you're testing them on day 26, always test it. Now, if you want to test them on both, then, okay, you test them on day two, you test them on day 26, you repeat it. That's for rich people. That's for people who don't mind spending, you know, $800 to get two tests done and then $800 to retest it. Good information. You know, my ideal would be I like to do an ASI on the same exact day as I would do one of these 24 hours and do the blood work on the same exact day and any other tests you're doing on that same exact day so you get a snapshot in time of all the things, because things do vary. And my ideal would be to do a cortisol test every hour. I want to see how it's changing. Not every 4 hours like they do, but it's cost. It's cost prohibitive to add it like that. Right? I would like to see the 24-hour done at several different periods throughout the day. Ideally, on day 2, day 26, and then somewhere around day 11, 12, so we see what's happening at ovulation. And to do this female hormone cyclic and compare would be great too. Or to do the saliva and compare. haven't done those because there's not a lot of people who are just saying, yeah, I have an unlimited bank account. Let's just keep running tests on me. It just doesn't work that way. Okay. So life extension, urinary profile. If you go to Life Extensions, they have a urinary profile 24 hours. It's usually $3.99, which is about the same as the Meridian. And it's on sale for members. Oh, yeah. Save 25% to $29.25 if you join as a member. And I think it costs like $20 to join for the year and you get their newsletter. And I'm looking to see what it has. It has all, call that they don't do the reductase, the basic one. I'm not sure that this is a better price than Meridian. Because Meridian has multiple levels. They have the Comprehensive Plus, which is the one that has the HCG. If you go to my website, drrenamarie.com/lab testing, the one I do that I offer for, I think it's 360 or something, or 380, is the one that has the DA, it has the thyroid, and it has the ratios, and... yeah, that's it. And the creatinine and all that. So this one, no, it does that. This one isn't as comprehensive, but it's certainly good enough. At $2.99 is a better price. You can get it, but the thing is, you can get it direct. You don't have to go through a doctor to get it. And that's the beauty of this. Yeah. And I don't know if I called them, I should call them and find out if could we add on the other stuff. Because I know they use Meridian, because I've seen their report, and it said Meridian somewhere on there. It's the same test. So Meridian and Genova are the two that I know that do it. And you can get it through Life Extension. The thing I found with the consultation is one of my clients had gotten the test on there. And she said, they said you get a free consultation. So she calls up. But they didn't tell her a lot of stuff that they needed to tell her. They didn't look at the ratios. They didn't look at a lot of the stuff. So she wasn't getting, it wasn't as detailed a consultation as you can learn to do. Or as you will get through Meridian. And I just think it's worth it. To me, it's worth it to pay a little bit more to go through Meridian because I get to talk to the guys that are trained by Jonathan Wright. And I really appreciate that. So thank you for being here.